the supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, thank you so much for joining us on today's special.
Ah!
Today, Saturday, is the 23rd of Jamadi al-Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 18th of the month of Bahman, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 6th of February, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we listen to Surah Al-Hujurat, verses 17 and 18.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Yamunnuna 'alayka an aslamu. قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ.
They consider it a favor to you that they have accepted Islam. Say, do not consider your Islam a favor to me. Rather, Allah has conferred favor upon you, that he has guided you to the faith, if you should be truthful.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ.
Indeed, Allah knows the unseen aspects of the heavens and the earth, and Allah is seeing of what you do.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Being guided to the Islamic faith and embracing it are great divine favors conferred upon man, since Allah Almighty is needless of his belief, faith, and worship. The blessed verse, verse 17 of chapter Hujurat, reflects that no one deserves reward in return for his belief or for his righteous good deeds. The rewards promised to believers are through divine favor rather than owing to worthiness, since Allah Almighty confers whatever he wills to whoever he wants.
In the month of Bahman, the month of Islamic Revolution, be with today's special.
You're listening to IRIB English Radio, and this program, today's special, we're going to speak about the fundamentals of Iran's Islamic Revolution. Today, no one can deny the reality that the liberating movements which took place against despotic regimes in various Muslim states have been affected by the Islamic Revolution that triumphed in Iran 42 years ago. So impressive is the impact of the revolutionary events on the people of our neighborhood that even Turkey, despite the secularism imposed on it, did not remain unaffected. In other words, the coming to power of an Islamic-oriented government in Turkey is proof of the fact that the government and party are all indebted to the Islamic Revolution in Iran. Similarly, the Islamic awakening that brought down regimes in North Africa and West Asia over the past few years owes its power to the Islamic Revolution of Iran.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. Concerning the Islamic Revolution of Iran, it must be indicated that, as its name suggests, it has been the Islamic Revolution of Iran. Now we find that Imam Khomeini himself, as a religious and clerical personality, was he himself was an erudite personality. He was a high-ranking mujtahid and a very skillful teacher in the seminary, Qom Seminary. He was coming from the very nation. I mean, he wasn't someone just beside the whole nation or, for example, apart from the nation. No, he belonged to the heart of the nation. He was such a thinker that he wanted to come up with the foundational and fundamental intellectual changes in the whole country. He wanted all people to overthrow the Pahlavi dynasty in order for the coming and for the introduction of the Islamic values and Islamic standards. Now we find that when Imam Khomeini started his revolution, well, he never had any armed forces. And at the same time, in the beginning, he wanted to give advice and to direct and to guide the ex-Pahlavi royal dynasty so that they might take lessons from his recommendations and admonitions. However, the ex-Pahlavi royal dynasty, instead of taking lessons and instead of appreciating the sincere guidance of the late Imam Khomeini, it launched a military aggression against the city of Qom, suppressed a religious ceremony that was being held at Madrasa Faiziyah, just near the shrine in Qom. And afterwards, the ex-Pahlavi royal dynasty arrested Imam Khomeini, kept him in jail in Tehran for several months. And after that, the ex-Pahlavi royal dynasty sent Imam Khomeini into exile, first to Turkey and then from Turkey to Iraq.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Bahman presents today's special.
Be with us with today's special and Imam Khomeini's political thought. Imam Khomeini's arguments on the alliance between religion and politics. Imam Khomeini, in his Tahrir al-Wasila, writes, "Islam is the religion of politics with its all dimensions. It is very clear for those who have the least knowledge of political, economic, and social aspects of Islam. Thus, anybody maintaining that religion is separate from politics has no knowledge of religion and politics." Dear friend, according to Imam Khomeini, the Quran contains political and social issues more than ethical and ritual personal matters. Even the rituals mentioned in the Holy Quran are politically oriented. Thus, it can be stated that politics intermingled with rituals and vice versa. On the anniversary of victory of Islamic Revolution in Iran, we have a special part, stories from the life of Imam Khomeini, under the title Exceptional Joy. Imam's daughter narrates, "The last of the 21st of the Iranian month of Bahman, February 10th, 1979, Imam Khomeini was sitting with his head down listening to the radio. I was also sitting by his side. It was announced that the radio and television stations had fallen from the government's control. Imam clapped two hands together and stood up without thinking. I have only seen him clap his hands dead once. He was very happy, and this happiness was apparent on his face. At that very time, he said, "Now it's finished. Now it's finished." I did not understand then what this sense meant. Afterwards, I understood that when the radio fell into the hands of the nation, the world would understand that the regime had fallen out of power. Perhaps I can say that I have at no other time seen the happiness of that day on his face.
Imam Ridwanullah Alayh, people say his revolution is the biggest service. I respectfully disagree. Revolution is just one of the long list of services that he has done. The biggest aspect of his personality that distinguishes him from the rest is his level of ma'rifat and irfan of Imam Sahibuz Zaman alayhi salam. According to my teacher, Ayatullah Jawadi Hafizahullah, he said that Imam Ridwanullah Alayh reached Kamalul Inqita' that we read in Munajat Sha'baniyah. Munajat Sha'baniyah is one of those du'as that every member of Ahlul Bayt recited. It's one of those unique and precious du'as, although all the du'as are precious. Imam Khomeini used to call the du'as of Ahlul Bayt to be Al-Qur'an al-Sa'id. This Qur'an that me and you have in our hands is called Al-Qur'an al-Nazil, the descending Qur'an. Whereas the du'as of Ahlul Bayt, because he was an arif, you know, I wish the Islamic Ummah only learned their religion from those who are arif. And our destinies would change for good, forever. I wish. So he used to call the du'as of Ahlul Bayt as Al-Qur'an al-Sa'id, the ascending Qur'an. You know, it's no less than the Holy Qur'an, the du'as of Ahlul Bayt. Why would that be less? Because your statement can become less if you are afraid about the mental level of the audience. Or the speaker himself is not of the caliber to speak the high stuff. In this case of the du'as, the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are the most perfect reflections of every single name and attribute, the names of beauty and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the audience is Allah himself. Why would the kalam and statement, the du'as, would be less than the value of Quran? So you find he reached the kamal al-inqita', breaking away from everything.
I invite you to listen to the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Till then, have a nice time.
Food for thought.
Salam, and here we present you a brilliant description of the Noble Quran by Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace upon her, the last and most comprehensive heavenly scripture that God Almighty revealed to her father, Prophet Muhammad. Blessings of God upon him and his progeny for the guidance of mankind. A covenant he brought unto you, and an heir he left to guard you, that is, the eloquent book of Allah, the truthful Quran, the brilliant light, the shining beam. Its insights are indisputable. Its secrets are revealed. Its indications are manifest, and its followers are blessed by it.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Jumping straight into the tradition of Hisham, the Imam says, "Oh Hisham, God, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has perfected the efficiency of His divine guides, that is, the way that they are able to guide people, for people's benefit by giving the people the intellect." That is to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by giving people the ability to think and to be rational beings, they are able to understand the divine guides of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here are some of the mufassirin and some of the expounders of the word hujjaj that comes in the tradition have said that these divine guides are the prophets and the imams that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down to people. And then these individuals are understood and their message is understood by the intellect that Allah has given people. And in continuing, Imam Kadhim alayhi salam mentions the verse from Surah Baqarah. So then the Imam continues and says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has aided his prophets with the power of eloquent speech and has guided people to know that he is their Lord through verses that are found in the Holy Quran. For he has said, This is the verse from Surah Baqarah. Your God is one. There is no God but Him. He is the all-beneficent, the ever-merciful. In the creation of the sky and the earth and the alternation of night and day, and the ships that sail at sea for people's benefit, and in the water that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down from the sky, by which He revives the earth and after its death and scatters therein every kind of animal. In the changing of the winds and in the clouds, which have been subjugated by the wind between the sky and the earth, are signs for people who use their intellect. So all of this that Allah has created is a means for a person to understand that there is a creator. And those individuals who use their intellect, it is for them to truly understand. Therefore, it is mentioned that if a person does not use his intellect, he will not be able to understand the proof by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent. He will not get any benefit from the guides and from these signs and ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in front of him. So inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to awaken our intellects, that we are able to understand the proofs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in front of us, both in terms of the signs of the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the signs of those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. Inshallah, until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, a program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first we're going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then, we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. The Quran is a book in which its beauty is confessed by even non-Muslim scholars. In this segment, we are going to listen to some quotes from different scholars about the Noble Quran. Hamilton Alexander Ruskin Gibb, 1895-1971, known as H.A.R. Gibb, was a Scottish historian on Orientalism. He wrote many books on history of Islam and Arabs. In his famous book, Islam, A Historical Survey, he wrote the following about the Noble Quran. The Meccans still demanded of him a miracle, and with remarkable boldness and self-confidence, Muhammad appealed as a supreme confirmation of his mission to the Quran itself. Like all Arabs, they were the connoisseurs of language and rhetoric. Well, then if the Quran were his own composition, other men could rival it. Let them produce 10 verses like it. If they could not, and it is obvious that they could not, then let them accept the Quran as an outstanding evident miracle. Now let's listen to the recitation of Surah Al-Qiyamah, verses 16 to 35, recited by Abdul Basit Muhammad Abdul Samad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. You just listened to the verses 16 to 35 of Surah Al-Qiyamah, recited by Shaykh Abdul Basit Muhammad Abdul Samad. Now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of tajweed. Okay, at the beginning, لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به. Perhaps the most important rule of tajweed that we have in this verse is the tarqiq of the ra. تحرك ري. The ra has to be pronounced with thinness, okay? And in order to pronounce it with thinness, we give a kasra to the ra and we pronounce it thinly by moving the tongue downward, and the back of the tongue is not raised when pronouncing the ra. So we don't say tuharrik. Tuharrik is incorrect. Tuharrik. Lisanaka lita'arjala bih. Okay, notice how in bihi, the word bihi, when we stop on it, the ishba' is not applied. Because when we do waqf al-iskan, so no longer you need to do ishba'. Inna alayna jam'ahu wa qurana. Why does Sheikh Abdul Basit say qurana instead of saying qur'ana? This is because he's reciting in the qira'ah of Ibn Kathir. I don't know which riwayah it is, but I know that I'm pretty sure that this is the qira'ah of Ibn Kathir. Both riwayahs, they pronounce qur'ana, qur'ana, without the qur'ana, without the sukun on the ra. فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَهُ. Why did he do ishba' qara'nahu in Hafs? We don't do ishba' here. But in Ibn Kathir, ishba' takes place every single time that there is a ha'ud damir. Okay? Doesn't matter if before it there's a long vowel, if before it there's a sakin letter. No, ishba' takes place all the time. So minhu would be minhu in Ibn Kathir. Or, for example, عَلَيْهِ would be عَلَيْهِ, and so on and so forth. ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَهُ. We have the غُنَّة of the noon and also the meme. They're both مُشَدَّد. كَلَّا بَلْ تُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةَ وَتَذَرُونَ الْآخِرَةَ وجوه يومئذ ناظرة إلى ربها ناظرة. Now in these two verses, verse 22 and 23, we have the difference between ضاد and ضاء. ناظرة ناظرة. You see the difference? ضاد is pronounced with the side of the tongue. ضاء is pronounced with the tip of the tongue. And both have istirla, so both are pronounced with tafkhim. Wujuhun yawma'idhin basira. We have iqlab of nun sakina and tanween here. Talunnu an yuf'ala biha faqira. Kalla idha balagati taraqiya wa qila man raq. This is sect. Instead of saying man raq, we say man raq. We hold our breath on the nun sakina and then, without taking a breath, we pronounce raq. Okay, dear brothers and sisters, we ran out of time, unfortunately. We will analyze other great recitations by great reciters in future programs, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the noble Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, one of the beautiful and, you know, immaculate
characteristics of the Holy Quran is that it appeals and it can, you know, catch the heart of any individual. It has the ability to do so, especially if that individual has the capability and the capacity to let the light of the Holy Quran enter into his or her heart. And as we've seen from our previous programs, this is the case, that those individuals who were seeking something or who had a clean heart and so on and so forth, the light of the Holy Quran very easily penetrated and caused such a revolution within these people that their whole life, you know, kind of went 180 degrees. One of the verses that we will see in the next few episodes that changed quite a few individuals, not only at the time just after the Holy Prophet, even in today's world, is the verse from Surah A'raf, verse number 31. This verse talks about eating and drinking, but also it says that eat and drink, yes, but do it in a way that you do not waste, you are not wasteful. Now, this could also mean, as some of the individuals who we will mention have taken it to mean, it does not mean obviously that is the actual meaning. What we give of the Holy Quran is a perception of the meaning that we have. The depths of the Holy Quran are something that we have to dive into, and hopefully it is a blessing that which we are given in enabling ourselves to understand the depths and the secrets of the Holy Quran. So in this verse of the Holy Quran, which is again, I repeat, Surah A'raf, verse number 31, that says, put on your adornment on every occasion of prayer and eat and drink, but do not waste. This is that thing, that particular, you know, message of not being wasteful, eating sufficiently, drinking sufficiently, not doing too much, not going overboard or being gluttonous. So it is mentioned in one of the books that one of the scholars, who was not Muslim, heard this verse being recited by one of the Qaris or one of the reciters of the Holy Quran in a particular gathering. And this verse caused such a change within him that he accepted Islam and became Muslim. As we mentioned, the Holy Quran penetrates the hearts of those who are seeking. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, at the specific moment, opens the heart of that person so that the light can penetrate it. And then this particular scientist that has been reported to have said this, or this particular scholar that has reported to have done this after hearing this, after hearing this verse of the Holy Quran, becoming Muslim, he says that this verse contains and encapsulates the principles and foundation of wisdom and medicine. And this is according to his understanding of the Holy Quran. And this one verse, because of his specific specialty and what he has learned in, which is probably medicine, he understands the concept of wastefulness, the concept of eating too much, and so on and so forth. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
this man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
شما در این قرن معجزه کردید. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر. خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر. خمینی رهبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. In the name of Allah, the exalted, the most merciful, the most compassionate. Salam, hello, and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World and is Still Changing It. And of course, I'm referring to Imam Khomeini, this holy personality who really has changed the world forever. In the last program, I was discussing with our guest, Dr. Hassani, and before I proceed to summarize what we discussed before, I'd like to welcome once again Dr. Hassani, who is an academic and also a researcher in Islamic research, and I give him a very warm welcome to the program.
Assalamu alaikum, brother. Thank you for having me.
I discussed with Dr. Hassani, and the question was that how do we study a personality like Imam Khomeini? What's the approach? And we certainly discussed in the last session that the approach has to be not only in terms of context, but also in terms of claim. And this is what we were really getting down to, is that there is many claims that are made by many people in the world. There's a lot of claims made by the American president, and a lot of claims made by certain ideologies about the utopia which they want to create in any particular nation or in any particular time. But, of course, they never live up to expectation. But Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, was much more than expectation. It was really a miracle, and that's what we're really getting down to, is that how did this miracle actually occur, both in the context of what Iran was in the early part of the 20th century. Of course, in the later half of the 20th century, we saw dramatic changes in the world, but we want to look into that analysis by the fact of the impact of what Imam Khomeini actually made on the whole world. And as we say, it is about claims. Now, I'd like to start today's discussion with Dr. Hassani on the basis that it says in the Holy Quran that why do you people make claims that they never... God says to us that why do you make claims that you never live up to? And yet, there were claims in the past in terms of the monarchy that was there in Iran where certain kings became shadows of God as claims. And how ridiculous was that? Tell us, Dr. Hassani, put that into some kind of context, that if that was the system by which people had to live, what were we going to expect, especially on the basis of Tawheed, when we are supposed to be, say, Laysa Kamithli Shay, that God is nothing like his creation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Again, my answer to you in one word, hallucinating.
Right, they were hallucinating.
When you think you're big.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the characteristic for...
Just simply came out of vanity.
I'll give it to you. The way Quran is teaching us, the Satan went wrong. Why? Because he thought he was big.
Yeah, he became
and this
conceited.
This is the whole... He was deceived, and he tried to deceive everybody else in between.
Yeah.
The thing is this.
He was full of himself.
Of course he was. And this is an enlightened note. If you get into that, he was something more than you could expect, because he was challenging his own creator in a negative sense.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
We might get
into
that.
Because he had become proud.
Exactly. The thing is this. If you're not big, according to according to the definition, how can you become big? Let me give you an example.
Mm.
In mathematics, what is the value of zero?
Zero.
Zero.
Nothing.
Zip.
Zip.
Nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
But if you put a zero after a one, what happens?
Becomes 10.
Becomes 10.
Yeah.
10 times.
Times.
You can't say 10 times bigger.
No.
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 You see?
No, you can't do that. That doesn't work in math.
Think about this.
Yeah.
Because no matter what kind of number in math, you know, multiplied by zero is zero.
Zero.
But when you put a zero next to a one.
One.
It becomes 10. And if you put two zeros,
it's 100.
100. And the story goes on.
But the one is very important.
And that one is the oneness that the Tawhid we're talking about.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
So Satan, just like everybody else, just like everything else,
was zero.
Let's talk simple here. He was zero.
He was zero.
And he will stay zero if he did not seek a place.
Okay, with the one.
When we are escaping from devil's trick, we are told to say, I seek refuge in God.
God.
From
in
Satan.
The one.
In the one.
In the one.
And one is one, no matter what. One is the creator. Okay?
Mashallah. Yes, that's absolutely right.
So, the thing is this. The arrogance, and this goes with politics today. We might
absolutely.
Get to that. We
yeah.
should.
Yeah, we should.
Satan was nothing. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to look for greatness, bigness, which could give him all the respect, all the reward he could not even
imagine.
Possibly imagine.
Yeah.
He didn't. He went astray. He went out of the way, out of order, which is the law, the do's and don'ts of what Creator put in place.
Sure.
He didn't. So he wasn't big. But he pretended. Okay?
Yes.
This is the word istikbar. Istikbar, you know, the whole claim is this, Brother Ejaz. I might, you know, I'm not trying to jump from here and there, but
no.
It's so many beautiful and different subjects attaching with the life of Imam Khomeini.
Exactly.
May his holy soul rest in peace.
Peace, yes.
It's so many different things that sometimes you feel, you know, you get so excited.
Yeah.
You want to say the whole thing in one session.
In one breath,
impossible.
But that's not possible. But that's what I was saying in the previous program.
The
that
I
was saying about the fact that this is the extraordinary thing about Imam Khomeini, because this is what we're really talking about, is the fact that he's multidimensional. He's not a one-dimensional
exactly.
man. So that's what we're saying. And what makes him that multidimensional man? Because as you say, there was a claim right in the dawn of time, or before the dawn of time, I should say, because we are really into the realms of the Creator here. But at that particular moment, this zero, as you said, had a big claim, but was proved to be zero at the end of the day. Once it was found out that he had got too big for his shoes, and couldn't live up to what he was. So at the end of the day, that's what we're saying, that isn't that the sad history, isn't that the misfortune that the Muslim world has been going through?
Exactly.
That we've had people who, as you say, like Satan, came up with big claims out of vanity, out of pride, and so was the Shah.
Out of emptiness,
made a lot of noise, but at the end of the day...
To finish the point about Satan, Brother Ejaz, to say this. He was nothing, but he wanted to be somebody big.
Yeah, that he wanted it.
This is why the word istikbar. Istikbar means trying so hard to look
the
big.
Part.
To look big.
Yeah.
To look great.
To look the
And
role,
you know what?
Yeah.
Okay, at this point, I should say this. You know what the biggest claim of Imam Khomeini was? The claim shaped into the slogan of what we know as Allahu Akbar.
Yes.
God is great.
That is the claim.
When God is great, you are nothing. When you are attached with what he wants you to be, where he wants you to be, how he wants you to be, then you become big. And nobody can deal with you.
Exactly.
That's why Imam Khomeini says America cannot do a damn thing.
Because he's attached to the greatest
and
of all.
And at this point, it wasn't a slogan. It wasn't
a
claim.
No, that is a reality.
And that wasn't a claim. That was a reality.
That is a
that
reality.
That was a mere fact. As we speak. See?
Yeah.
You have to distinguish as we go along.
Sure.
As we proceed to talk about that great personality, so from the claim comes something that people think is claim, but it's not.
No.
It is a slogan. It's a motto.
Exactly. So
but That's the whole thing. He lived according to his belief.
Exactly.
He wasn't
And playing. The belief comes straight out of the Quran.
Exactly. So the power comes from that.
Yeah. So tell us from the Quran in terms of these claims, which, as you say, the attachment is with Allahu Akbar. And that's how the revolution started. Mm-hmm. That was the shouting on the streets.
And you know the deeper explanation of the slogan Allahu Akbar? The mere translation is God is great. Which is true.
True.
But they ask Ma'asum, what does it mean?
Yes, please.
He said something to the fact that Allah is greater than whatever you can imagine. That's a belief.
That is something.
Brother,
else.
The phenomenon, the issue of belief is a very serious one.
And Imam Khomeini proved
that. Khomeini proved that he was pro this ideology.
Exactly.
He didn't just say it. The difference between ordinary people like myself with Imam is this. Whatever he said, he didn't say it, you know.
He acted it.
He didn't say it for something to sound good.
Yeah.
To attract population.
Yeah.
He meant it. He believed it. He lived it. He lived according to his belief. So this is the difference.
Yeah,
you see the end result. Another thing, you have a criteria, a good check and balance system. You can tell by the end result. You asked me something about communism in the previous program.
Yeah.
But you see, after the demise, the collapse of Soviet Union, what happened? Somebody might ask.
Yeah.
What happened? It was that zero. But during the course of history, time... Another thing with people, you know, ordinary people, who don't stick to Quranic teaching, a deep understanding of Islam, what Islam wants to make out of you, this is very important.
Yes.
Those who used to see the military parade in the Red Square with all how many great numbers of tanks and machineries and troops and cannons and this and that.
Missiles, yes. Ballistic missiles.
Every year, the whole thing was a different show. Okay?
Yeah.
Showmanship. People who saw that, they thought this material, this so-called power, this is not the real power. These so-called things could help whoever the regime might be. But we saw the end result. It didn't help. It
happened at all.
You see? This is what we're talking about. You're talking about religious in a true sense. You're talking about God commands in a true sense, do's and don'ts. The entire life of human being could be shaped, put on the right track, okay?
Sure.
If he listens to his own creator. By the way, I gave you this example in the last program.
Sure.
Only Sony can write a manual for its own product, not Sanyo.
That's right. Right.
Okay, and God is the only one who can write this manual, and he did the perfect one, which is Quran, through his prophets. And the story goes on with Imam Khomeini. When he said that America cannot do anything, this was not a claim, this was a fact. Claim is to a certain point. When you get on the right track, you just continue to march, and you don't even look you don't look behind yourself.
That's right. And the other...
Because you believe in it. This is a straight path.
As you see, the claim was very great at the beginning of the revolution, but it was also the claim that Islam made right from the outset.
And you know the reason for claim? To call on people.
To call on people.
This is a divine duty.
Yeah. It's, as you say, this claim is a reality in terms of calling people.